And I'm Norman Gilliland. Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. Kenneth Woods is back in the neighborhood. And I say back in because, let's say, you're originally from Madison. Am I remembering that right?
Madison native, Wisconsin Youth Symphony and UW-Madison School of Music alumni, and good to be back home.
And now, how long have you been conducting in England?
I've been over there a little over 10 years now, just finishing up 5 years as principal guest conductor of the Orchestra of the Swan, and now newly appointed at the English Symphony Orchestra in Malvern.
And what does the swan refer to exactly?
The swan is the symbol of Stratford-upon-Avon, Shakespeare's hometown, which is where the Orchestra of the Swan is in residence.
Did you know that the Queen owns all swans?
I did.
Mute and unmarked in Britain.
One of my good friends, who's a violin maker, once cooked a swan that they found on their property. He said any chance to commit culinary treason is not to be missed.
Should I ask, how is swan?
He said it was a little gamey.
Yeah, it doesn't come highly rated. They're, I think, prettier to look at than they are to consume. And so what kind of things have you been doing with the are you just starting to work now with the newer orchestra, the English Symphony?
I've been with the ESO about a year now, and we're looking forward to our first full season together since I was appointed principal conductor there. They are a fantastic orchestra, very excited to sort of roll my sleeves up and get involved with them. It's an orchestra that's been around for a little over 35 years. Very interesting. People have worked with them over the years. Sir Michael Tippett was their composer in residence in the 1980s. Yehudi Menuhin was principal guest conductor there for about 12 years. And they have a wonderful history of recording over 70 CDs for Nimbus.
Wow.
So it's a real Cadillac of an orchestra. Lots of exciting possibilities and lots of great history, especially with English music being from Elgar's hometown. They have a great history with all that repertoire, but they play everything well. And it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah. Play a lot of English music.
Record a lot of English music, Elgar, Butterworth, Tippett. We have a new composer in association now who's John McCabe, one of the great living British composers, and we're very excited about working with him right now.
And you brought several CDs, and this particular one, as I see, recorded live,
mm-hmm.
and includes, in addition to Verklärte Nacht of Schönberg, the Brahms Serenade, which has to be a crowd pleaser.
It is. Both of these are pieces that are known in their versions for full orchestra far better than in their original versions. So we've recorded the sextet version of the Schönberg alongside the nonet version of the Brahms. Brahms wrote the piece for 9 players, solo strings and solo winds, and then later enhanced it and emboldened it for full orchestra. And it's very interesting to hear it here with one on a part, beautiful, transparent writing, very elegant, very classical. And you can hear how close he is in spirit here to Mozart and Haydn.
And these are the minuets that make you particularly realize that.
Thank you.
The Minuets from the Brahms Serenade, Opus 11, as played by an ensemble that on this CD featuring Schoenberg and Brahms features my guest today, Kenneth Woods, who's also the conductor of the English Symphony Orchestra and a product of Wisconsin's school music education system.
Still one of the best in the country, and one that needs all of our vocal support all the time.
What attracts you to the music of Philip Sawyer's? Haven't you recorded a couple of discs of his stuff?
This is the first disc I've recorded. There's previously been a disc of his two piano sonatas with a group called the Steinberg Duo, who play on the CD, and an earlier disc of his first symphony with the Grand Rapids Symphony. Philip, I think, is one of the greatest and most interesting and exciting composers walking the planet right now, and this disc was a real labor of love. His second symphony, cello concerto and concertante for violin, piano, and strings, it's one that we worked to make happen for a long, long time, and we're just thrilled with how it's turned out. The symphony is an incredible tour de force, and I think this cello concerto, with really no hyperbole intended, is the most beautiful and powerful British cello concerto since Walton.
Now, you're a cellist. Have you been attracted to the idea of soloing in a performance of this?
I have. Yeah, I would love to play it one of these days. It's a big project, though, and I can't really imagine anyone surpassing Maya Bogdanovich's performance on this. She is an incredible, incredible talent and a wonderful colleague.
And this is from the first movement?
First movement. We're going to hear – the first movement's a little long to play today, so we'll play the opening up to the beginning of the cadenza of the first movement.
Excerpt from the Cello Concerto by the English composer, contemporary English composer, Philip Sawyers, who is an associate of my guest today, my guest being Kenneth Woods, who is a Wisconsin native who for, 10 years now, did you say, has been conducting in England?
That's right, yeah, which is where I met Phil. He coaches the violins at a youth orchestra I've been affiliated with for about 10 years now.
How long did you know Philip Sawyers before he confessed that he was a composer?
We had done a couple of courses together with the youth orchestra over a couple of years, and then one day he said to me, Ken, this is the terrible moment where I ruin our friendship by telling you I'm a composer and asking you to listen to my music. And I always listen because you never know what you're going to hear, but 9 times out of 10, the music is a strain on the friendship. But Philip is a genius, and I literally could not believe my eyes and ears when I got the first score and CD from him. And we've just commissioned his 3rd symphony from the English Symphony Orchestra, which will premiere next year, 2015-16, and we're incredibly excited about that project.
And what prompted him to write a cello concerto then?
It was suggested by a remarkable chap named Robert Chouari, who was a longtime violinist in the Philharmonia turned conductor who ran the Sydenham Festival in London recently, deceased of brain cancer all too soon. But Robert had a knack for finding extraordinary young talents, and in this case he found Maya Bogdanovich and brought her to the Sydenham Festival for several years. And after she played Elgar and Dvorak, he thought it was time to commission a piece for her, and the piece was premiered at the festival in 2009.
There's a long tradition, it goes back at least to the Baroque era, of instruments imitating other instruments.
That's right. We'll hear some of that in the next piece we're going to play, actually.
And in this case, the instruments doing the imitating, violin and cello, and I don't know if the narrator's in on the imitation also, but creating a klezmer effect?
That's right. This is from a CD called Auriculi, the Double Album. Auriculi is a reinvented version of my string trio, Ensemble Epimeo, in which our violist, David Yang, turns narrator. And we've just released a double CD of new children's pieces, storytelling works for violin, cello, and narrator, including one piece by me, a setting of The Ugly Duckling, and four pieces by David. Yang may not sound like the most obviously Jewish name in the world, but his mother is Jewish. His father is a great Chinese photographer. And David writes in a very klezmer-inspired style. And we're going to hear a little excerpt of a piece of his called Three Wishes, which is a sort of Yiddish take on the classic story of the genie and the three wishes. And the episode we're going to hear from the story is, we're already a little bit into it. Our protagonists, Moishe and Mendel, are hungry and irritable, and they've encountered the genie. And this section was actually inspired by David's longstanding desire to write a Yiddish rap about food.
All right, here goes. And this is called The Three Wishes.
Moishe picked up the lamp and turned it over in his hands. "'Twas a strange old object, all covered in dirt and appearing to have some kind of old script engraved on the sides. To get a better look, he rubbed it with the tail of his shirt. Imagine his surprise when blue smoke started pouring out the spout and a small man wearing a turban and earrings appeared in the air before his very eyes. Moishe called inside to his brother.
Mendel, Mendel, come here. You are gonna plot when you see this. This lamp, there's a Dubik that lives inside.
I'm starving, and he's outside playing with trash. Dubik Shmemek, what are you doing out there?
Then the little man from the lamp spoke, and this is what he said.
Three wishes I will grant for you and your big brother. I'm grateful for your help. Don't ask me for another.
Moishe couldn't believe his good fortune. But while he was outside contemplating the genie's offer, Mendel, back in the kitchen, could not stop thinking about his empty belly. He was so hungry he started to fantasize about food. Wasn't there anything in the house? A piece of bread? An old apple?
Forget the apple. I'd chow down the whole tree of knowledge at this point.
Oy, was he hungry! He dreamed of heaping stacks of herring and liquid vats of schmaltz, quantities of kishkes, kasha kreplach, kikalach, magnitudes of matzah brie and portions of pirogan, doggy bags of derma and crunchy stacks of groven. A bagel with a schmear and scads of hot stuffed cabbage, a mountain range of matzah and braised brisket by the baggage, heaps of hamantaschen with cotton loads of kugel, rafts and reams of rugelach, and don't forget the strudel. A little peck of cholent, a truckload of fresh challah, containers of chopped liver and some olives from Ramallah. The rules of Jewish cooking dictate nothing goes to waste. The longer it is cooked, the better it will taste. A glass of Manischewitz to wash the dinner down. And if that swill won't make him full, he'll call in Dr. Brown. And don't forget the favorite of all that can be chewed, the modern Jewish classic, take out Chinese food. Thank you. During all this, Moishe was still haggling with the genie out back. He decided to gingerly seek out his older brother for some sage advice.
Mandala!
Well, you'll have to find out what that sage advice is by hearing the rest of the three wishes, and that's just part of one of the parts of the double album called Auriculi, Fairy Tales, Folk Tales, and Fables for Violin, Cello, and Narrator. And then there's that really low guy in there who has one line.
Yes, he's a real star. When I heard the genie the first time, I was very pleased. And that's newly out on Avi Records. It was a real labor of love to put that CD together.
Well, you have some very diverse projects to your credit, Kenneth. And
cheers, Norm.
Be interesting to see what you have next time you come around to
Wisconsin. Bring some Schumann and Beethoven. Just keep it real straight.
Cycle back. Well, thanks for stopping by today.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Have a good trip back to England.
Will do.
Next stop, our 12:30 quiz question here on WPR.
Bright lights, festive music, and gourmet meals are all part of WPR Travel and Earthbound Expedition's European Tour, December 4th to 13th. It's an exploration of the historic villages, holiday markets, and culture of Germany and France, much of it from a luxury riverboat. Round-trip airfare, accommodations, and most meals are included. Details and registration are at wpr.org/travel.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Kimberly-Clark Corporation, home of Kleenex, Huggies, and Kotex brands. More information about Kimberly-Clark's 142-year history is available on the web at kimberly-clark.com. Support also comes from Associated House Rights, residential design-build contractors, serving Dane County for over 20 years. Portfolio of remodeled and new home projects available at houserights.com.
First, of course, we'll review yesterday's 12:30 quiz question, which went like this. In castles, spiral stairways ascending counterclockwise were intended to provide what defensive advantage? Well, that was to make it harder for a right-handed swordsman to get up those spiral stairs and attack the residents. And, of course, the residents coming downstairs, being right-handed, would have the advantage. The left-handers did get to go to the front of the line if they were on the attack, a dubious distinction. That was yesterday's question. Here's today's. According to legend, this saint accomplished his famous deed with a drum. What deed would that be? According to legend, this saint accomplished his famous deed with a drum. Identify the deed and you might win the prize this Friday. It'll be a treasure trove, and you can email your answers to us at midday at WPR.org, or you can phone 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Mary Kate as we go back into the 17th century, the early 17th century, for this suite by Michael Pretorius. This is the New York Renaissance Band. And there you have some of the Terpsichore music by Michael Pretorius, played by the New York Renaissance Band. It's 17 minutes before 1. I'll repeat our 12:30 quiz question right after this here on WPR.
This school year in New Orleans marks 9 years since Hurricane Katrina. Now charter schools have been folded into a new recipe for public education there.
It's the gumbo city for a reason. Whether you want to call it an experiment, we have to give it a fair opportunity to see if this can work.
Checking in on the New Orleans experiment today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Morning Edition, Classical Music, Wisconsin Life. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn more about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you. When you shop with our online partners like the NPR Shop or Amazon.com, a portion of your purchase may benefit Wisconsin Public Radio. Learn more at WPR.org/shop.
Now here's our quiz question again. According to legend, this saint accomplished his famous deed with a drum. What deed would that be? You have 14 minutes to come up with the answer, and if you get it right, you just might win the prize today. You can email your answer to us at midday@WPR.org, or you can phone 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Mary Kate. As we listen to Stephen Kovacevic with this Nocturne by Chopin. Thank you. Stephen Kovacevic with a Nocturne number 18 in E by Frédéric Chopin brings us to our final piece of music for the midday today, and of course the resolution of our quiz question. This is no less than The Dance of the Hours from La Gioconda by Amilcare Ponchielli. Leonard Bernstein leads the New York Philharmonic.
Thank you.
The Dance of the Hours from La Gioconda by Ponchielli gets us to the solution to today's 12:30 quiz question. The question today, according to legend, this saint accomplished his famous deed with a drum. It had to be who, Mary-Kate?
Saint Patrick.
That's right. You can just imagine all those snakes running the other way, depending upon what kind of drum and how loudly he banged on it. Who's our winner?
Susie Miller from Manitowoc.
All right. And if you'll call back with your address, we'll send the treasure trove to you. I guarantee no snakes in it and probably no drums either. We'll just look and see what's back there in the treasure trove room. Stay right there for Garrison Keillor and his Writer's Almanac, and then music at 105 by a composer whose 150th birth year we celebrate this year. This is WPR.